We're now going to be looking at God's word. We're going to be hearing from Stu in just a moment, but our passage is going to be from Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 25 to 31. And Esther's going to come and read that for us.
Isaiah 40, 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thanks, Esther. Shall we pray before we get stuck into Isaiah 40 together? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for all that we have seen so far in this amazing chapter that shows off your greatness and your majesty. Help us today by your Spirit to see more of who you are and all that you do for us. Let us be encouraged and strengthened, renewed by your Spirit today. And we pray these things out of our great need and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let me just ask you a question as we start today, which is, how do you cope with life when you feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually weary? How do you cope with life when you feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually weary? All of us know that at some point in life we will face difficult hours and weary days where we struggle physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Work pressures mount up, exams loom, health issues arise, we get short nights of sleep, and children just don't stop screaming. Job insecurities, bills to pay. And I'm sure that there's been plenty of new opportunities for concerns and stresses over these past 5 months of lockdown. But even the daily grind of life can leave us feeling weary and weak. And many of us today will be feeling like that. But all of us will experience it at some point. Even if you feel in the prime of your life right now, all of us will experience that weakness and weariness. And in those times when we come up against things in life that are beyond our power to change, we need a word from God. We need hope and encouragement so that the stresses of life don't turn into despair. Well, let me encourage you to look closely at what Isaiah has to say to us today. And it starts with this: see the God of strength. See the God of strength in verse 25 and 26. And having seen his greatness last week, we are invited together now. Let's see the God of strength. Verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Do you think that God compares to an idol crafted after metal or wood or something else? Do you think that anything is equal to the Holy One? Verse 26. Lift your eyes to the heavens. Look up to the skies and see the stars. Who created all of those? God created all of them. One by one, God created and formed and named the stars, the planets, the moons. And I don't know about you, but when I look up on a clear night and see those stars in their glistening greatness, it completely and utterly staggers me. Consider with me for a moment the expanse of the universe. Scientists' best estimate on how many stars there currently are is 10,000 billion billion stars. And that is a conservative guess at best. 10,000 billion billion stars. And God knows exactly how many stars there are. And not only that, he knows each one of them by name. We are being invited this morning to consider the power that created all of that. What a display of power and strength. And not only did God create and name the stars, by his power and his mighty strength, he sustains each one of them so that not one of them is missing. Not one of them is missing. I must have read this passage 3 or 4 times before it hit me. Would I even notice if one of them was missing? Okay, sure, maybe the North Star, one of the most famous star. Would I notice? Maybe. But what about the stars that aren't so famous? Would we notice? Well, probably not. But God does. And that's the point. Look at the God who created the whole universe and by his great strength has positioned everything exactly where it should be, right down to the positioning of one particular star. And it's not the biggest and it's not the most impressive, but our star, and it's affectionately called the sun, is positioned in such a place where one planet in particular can thrive and flourish with life. Did you know that if the Earth was just that little bit closer, this is in like space miles, a little bit closer to the sun, the Earth would be uninhabitable because it would be too hot? And if you're anything like me, over the past month, with temperatures going up to 37 degrees, you'll be thinking, well, that's quite close enough for me, thank you very much. But if we were any closer, the Earth would be uninhabitable. Or conversely, if the Earth was any farther away from the sun, it would be uninhabitable because it would be a frozen wasteland. Everything has been perfectly positioned, named, and sustained in the universe according to God's sovereign will and by his great power and mighty strength. So don't compare the Holy One to idols and worthless things. He is all powerful. There is no one like him. None are his equal. And so whenever you see the stars, remember that they are only there again that night because of God's great power and his mighty strength. Do you see that God is a God of strength? Secondly, do you see that God is the God who gives strength in verses 27 and 29? Have a look down with me. Verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? The Israelites are in captivity again, under oppression again, and they look around their situation and they complain and doubt, where's God then? And the problem with complaining and doubting is that we get stuck in the present, looking around at the situation around us that we want to fix. And if we can't, then we complain to God, why haven't you sorted the situation the way I wanted it to be? And if we're not careful, we start to sound like the Israelites here. Doesn't God know my situation? Where is God? Doesn't he see or care about me? A Jewish man named of Harold Kushner asked a question that has become prevalent in our society, which is this: how can you have a good and all-powerful God and yet have a world that has bad things happen in it? And he goes on to write a whole book, but his conclusion is, well, that God means well, but he must be deficient in his power. Really? Is it possible that God is somehow unable to help the Israelites in their situation? Is God truly able to come to the aid of me and you when we're in distress? Yeah. Well, look down at verse 28 with me. Don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Well, let me tell you again. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The God of Isaiah 40 does not grow weary and tired. He doesn't get through a day and lie down exhausted, hoping that he can somehow muster up the energy just to get up for the next day. No, this verse tells us unashamedly that God is all powerful. So is God deficient in some way? No. Does he lack any sort of knowledge and wisdom in some way? Verse 28 continues. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God is infinite in his wisdom and knowledge. It doesn't compare. He is never perplexed. You'll never hear God say, I don't know. You'll never hear God say, I can't do that. Or, I'm too tired. Well, if God is not deficient, is he uncaring then? Well, look down at verse 29 and see how God acts. He gives strength to the weary and increases power to the weak. The God who possesses all strength gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to those who are weary from life, those who are weak. God doesn't lack any power or wisdom or compassion. He hasn't forgotten his people, but stands ready to bring them aid. As the hymn goes with words lifted straight out of this book, fear not, I am with you, or be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. See, the God of strength is ready to strengthen his people. God is that power source that will never run out and that we can plug into. See the God of strength. See the God who is ready to give strength. So run to the God who strengthens. Verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait and hope upon the Lord will renew their strength. Whether or not you feel physically, spiritually, emotionally weary right now, even those in their prime, every single one of us will run out of energy. And that is because our strength is not limitless. So we must run to the one whose strength knows no limits, who is ready to give his strength. And how do we do that? We wait, we hope in God. But what does it mean to wait and hope in God? And it's a big question for us. And this hoping and this waiting that we're meant to do isn't just about the future. It is a hope for today. It is a strength for today. It is a strength for today which we get by looking to God expectantly and eagerly with hope. For those in exile, the Israelites here, it meant waiting and hoping in God's promises to rescue them, looking for God to work. For us today, elect exiles, as Peter calls us, it is resting in the finished work of Christ. It's looking to all that Jesus has accomplished through his life, death, and resurrection. It is resting in his grace and love and mercy. It is looking towards all that Christ has promised us. Waiting and hoping in God is an attitude that looks to God. It knows that he is strong and we are weak. It leans into God and rests in his promises. But let's be real for a moment. It sounds easy to do, but let's be honest. It can be a wrestle to wait and hope in the Lord. And David recognizes that in Psalm 42, where he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me?" And he wrestles with himself. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. Praise God. Serve God. Walk with God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why aren't you buying into this? Do you ever feel like that? Well, here's the encouragement. If we hold fast and wait on the Lord and hope in the Lord, if we sit under the relentless grace of God and wait for him, as we walk in obedience to him, one step at a time, one day at a time, keeping asking God to help us to experience a renewed realization of who he is, to keep asking the God of all strength to strengthen us. What happens? The God of all strength promises that he will strengthen us. He will do it. Maybe not in the way that you imagined he would, but in the way that you need most. The God of all strength offers to strengthen us, so we need to be warned and beware of self-reliance. Alistair Begg comments on this. He says, "In many cases, we're not set up to discover the reality and wonder that is God's strength because we are served up daily doses of self-reliance." Self-reliance is the message of the world. Just look inside yourself, or self-help books. Life is what you make it. Life will change the moment you decide it's time to change. It's all about your strength and your self-reliance. But what Isaiah 40 does is make us realize that the more that we see God and see his power and strength, the more we realize, who am I? All human strength is limited, and the more that we rely on our own strength, the more tired and weary and weak we will feel, the more times we will stumble and fall. But do you see the strength of God that is limitless? And look, here is the God who is ready to give his strength to us. So then let us run to God, who freely gives out his strength. It is not the proud, self-reliant people who will be strengthened. It is those who humbly come to God, who trust and obey and know him, who will ultimately say, "God, I am weak. God, I am weak. I have nothing to get me through this. You are the God who gives strength to the weak. I am weak. Strengthen me. And they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and shall soar on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. What does it look like to have your strength renewed? Well, let me say, first of all, when God renews us with his strength, it does not mean that we will all somehow gain some sort of superhuman, Marvel comic-esque strength that can put stars into place, soar like eagles, run and never grow tired, walk without growing faint. That's not the sort of strength we should expect. Notice also that we're not told that their situation was immediately changed for the Israelites. Although we know that God will stick to his word and bring the Israelites out of captivity, he doesn't immediately do that here. God strengthens them in their situations that they're in order that they might endure. Soaring on eagles' wings, running without weariness, walking without fainting, are all pictures of the strengthening work of God in our lives that happens when we realize that God is all-powerful, so nothing is out of his control. Nothing is too big for God. That is the grounds for the strengthening hope to get through each day.
Right.
It is simply and wonderfully the strengthening work of God in us in order that we can endure. To keep putting one foot in front of the next by God's grace, to endure through all of life's circumstances. This is what Paul prays in Colossians 1, that the church would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. That is the strengthening that we can expect and hope for and eagerly anticipate when we wait upon the Lord. Does your faith feel weak? Are you weary in your walk with God? Do you feel like you've hit the hardships of life? Is life difficult? Is life painful? Let me ask you this. According to Isaiah 40, is anything outside of God's control? No. Has God forgotten you? No. Our lives are not hidden from him. Is God deficient in some way? No. Is God unwise in some way in your situation? No. And by the grace of God, he will strengthen you to keep putting one foot in front of the next, but only as you wait upon him. At the start, I asked, how do you cope with life and the stresses? Now our question is, how will you deal with the stresses and strains on your life? When you feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually weary, where will you choose to be? Will you live in verse 27 and 30 that complains and doubts against God and get stuck in the situation, or try to be self-reliant and do things in your own strength? The warning of Isaiah 40 says, that way leads to weariness, stumbling, and falling. Or will you live in verse 31? Deal with weariness and weakness God's way. And God's way is to get a renewed vision of his greatness, to fix our minds on the truth of who he is, to fix our hope in him, to wait eagerly and expectantly on him. And it remembers, He knows what he's doing. And in waiting on him, resting expectingly on him, it knows and has the knowledge and the confidence that he will strengthen us. See him as the God of strength, the God who gives his strength. So let us run to him for that strength. As we close, I just want us to spend some time in quiet, reflecting on Isaiah 40 and what it's been showing us over the past 4 weeks. And before we move on next week to our next sermon series, I want us to spend some time just to write some things down or to consider some things for us to remember, some key points. How has God been speaking to you through Isaiah 40? So let's spend some time, just a few minutes, just in the quiet, maybe write some things down on your phone or on some paper. How has God spoken to you? What do you want to take away from Isaiah 40? Let's spend a few minutes. I want to keep thinking about these things throughout the week or keep writing some things down. Can I just encourage you to talk through those things that you've written down with your family and some Christian friends? Discuss your encouragements, things that you want to remember from Isaiah 40. Shall we pray together? And then we're going to finish with a closing song. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and how Isaiah 40 shows us that you are the great I am, all-powerful and limitless in your strength. Thank you for your grace by giving strength to us, the weak, the weary. And Lord, we come before you confessing that we have all too often relied on our own strength rather than on you. We know that we are frail, weak, weary, and we cry out to you, the God of strength, to please strengthen us each day. You are the everlasting. You are limitless. Please strengthen us. And let's not be like those who are self-reliant, who continue to stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord, who trust, obey, and know that you, who you are, and so whose strength is renewed. And we pray all of this for our good and your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.